In this episode, I'm going to give you the framework for every successful video marketing project and break down the latest news in video marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey-o, hello, hello. In this episode, I'm going to give you some very practical tools that you can use for your marketing as a framework. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right visual elements to lay out your strategy that you can execute upon. And on this episode, I think I'm going to coalesce it for you so you'll be able to take it with you and be successful. Plus, there is a metric ton of video marketing news that we're going to go through together. And on many of them, there's an opportunity for you to learn as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to make smarter business decisions. So we're going to get to a lot of that in a moment. You know, I just got back from Chicago where we were filming a business advisory board meeting for our clients and conducting testimonial interviews with their key opinion leaders. And while I was in the Windy City, I also attended ASCO, the American Society of Clinical Oncology's annual conference. ASCO is the big dog. It's the biggest cancer conference of the year with 40,000 attendees from all over the world. It is an international conference that is almost, for me, a little bit too large. All right, here's a quick little pop quiz. I want you to guess how many employee rooms one of our clients purchased for its staff at ASCO. Take a guess. How many people do you think it was? What would be that number? All right. One of our clients had 3,000 rooms booked at ASCO in Chicago. I go every year, but I forgot to book my hotel room. The closest I could get to Chicago was a hotel at Midway Airport, and I would just Uber in every day and then Uber back at the end of the day. And while I was with them at ASCO, another client, which is funded by Amazon's Jeff Bezos and also Microsoft's Bill Gates, who we filmed with just 2 weeks ago in San Francisco, announced some really interesting news. Their new blood test can predict cancer years before symptoms even appear. I'm going to put that story on the show notes page for this episode, episode 94. It is mind-boggling. Now, never a dull moment. Today has been one of the busiest days in Wirebuzz. We've had two simultaneous shoots today going on. Right now, an Italian restaurant in the Phoenix area hired us to come in and create their corporate videos and execute against our customer lead generation strategy for them. And on the other side of town, another one of our crews, a marketing agency, has us shooting their corporate overview videos. And it has been crazy. And if that wasn't enough, juggling for just one day at a company, right now we have a client from Cool Sculpting, one of our clients, in-house in a meeting in the conference room, which is connected by a soundproof glass window to the studio that I'm in right now. And they're laying out the next strategy and what's going on, the videos that need to be created and the marketing ad spend and all those good things that help keep a company moving forward, attracting new customers, converting them, and developing deeper relationships. Now, I've got a new case study that I want to tell you about. But first, let's talk about what B-roll is. In video production, B-roll is supplemental or alternative footage intercut with the main shot. B-roll helps you show and also tell at the same time. It has deeper resonance when you can do that. And you can't have, as a business, enough B-roll in your bank. The more B-roll you use in the right places to tell the right story, the more comprehensive your video is going to be. So to give you an example, if you're watching an interview, as the person is talking, the editor cuts away visually to show supportive video footage of, let's say, a product, or if you've got a kitchen that's cooking food and you're watching a chef, the B-roll is when the chef's talking about the recipe and he starts to tell you about how you mix in the lime juice with the ceviche and you see the chef mixing it all. That's B-roll because you're still hearing the chef talking about it. And that's how people learn, right? It's like a deeper way to get a message across. And here's what we did. Our client had some big news that was coming out in roughly 3 weeks. So they asked us to pull together a strategy. They tasked us to help them prepare their business for the onslaught of media requests and to help insulate, protect their brand from personal health information being violated because they're in the medical space, or even gotcha footage or an attack questions that come up in the interviews. And another piece to the puzzle is our client has a massive medical diagnostic laboratory. And if you know anything about labs, they just can't have media crews walking through there, disrupting the diagnostic process or contaminating the space or even violating a patient's HIPAA. You know, HIPAA is the standards for privacy of individual identifiable health information, H-I-I-P-A, HIPAA. And it's commonly known as the HIPAA privacy rule. It also helps protect patients' personal health information, their PHI. And anytime you have a video crew in a medical setting, you run the risk of violating a patient's personal health information. So we created an online media newsroom on our client's website where their corporate communications team can take our existing B-roll that we created for them and then pre-approve all of that B-roll, that supportive video that the media, instead of bringing the media into your lab, could easily download for news pieces, right? It kind of just insulates, protects, and makes sure you're getting the right message out. And what we discovered is the national news and the local news, including CNBC, used Wirebuzz's created laboratory and physician videos in their final produced news pieces. And that was a huge win for that company. It protected them in so many ways. And I'll make sure to post video of our newsroom footage that CNBC used when creating one of our client stories. Now, most people, when they're thinking about video, they're thinking of it as a marketing tactic, like search or social or email and conversion tactics, right? But it's really not. Video is like gasoline on a fire. It's the best accelerant of every online tactic. The quicker you get to that, the quicker you'll start using video to generate very specific results at much higher levels than you would with other types of content. And, you know, I've been a digital marketer for 18 years now. I've seen a lot over the years. The best campaigns, they're results focused. They really are. And most people, when they approach me to do their video marketing, they're not thinking tactical. They're thinking random acts of video creation. The future of marketing is video. It's all centered around video. It's like the road to, you know, all roads used to lead to Damascus, and online all roads lead through video, because video generates the best results for all of those tactics: search, social, email, traffic, comprehension, and even sales conversion. Now, if anybody doesn't believe in the power of video and you're listening to this, yo, I would like to debate the topic. I'm not kidding. Please let me know. I mean, at this point, it's such a foregone conclusion, but if you're still a holdout and you don't believe in the power of video, we'd be happy to open up the challenge to you. You can always reach out to me, wirebuzz.com/pitch. And while I was in Chicago over the weekend, I spent some time watching the train pick up passengers. You know, I've never been a city kid. I grew up on the beach. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona now. And so when I get an opportunity to watch a train go by, it's kind of fun for me. So I sat there for a little bit waiting for my next client meeting, and I watched the train and how it operates. And there's a lot of similarities here. And as I was watching the train pick up passengers and then bring them to a specific location, it got me thinking about how the most successful digital marketing initiatives always look, and they actually function in very similar manners. You know, at this point, it's obvious to me that there's a very specific strategic map to follow, and it looks like interconnected train tracks that have a vehicle on it, which is content, that guides your target customers directly to your final destination, where your customers make a purchase, or at least a purchase decision. And if you want to get your target customers to the buying destination faster, you use video, which is like a luxury high-speed train, right? Now, your video is a train. Picture it like that. Understand it's going to move people, which picks up potential customers, takes them along your buyer's journey in the most efficient, inspiring, persuasive way possible. But you have to lay out the entire train track path to purchase before you get started with the video, which means you need a predetermined final destination path to purchase. And when you do this the right way, your customers arrive and make a buying decision on your optimized landing pages. And that's when revenue starts to flow in. Now, people who create business videos without first carefully laying out the strategy or the train tracks, they're fools. And at the very least, they're reckless with their company funds. A business video that didn't first start with strategy is nothing more than a train without tracks. Your target customers, they aren't going anywhere until you lay down those tracks. Now, if you think I'm wrong, I'm sure I just offended you. And candidly, I'd rather offend you right here and right now than have you figure it out when your marketing train wrecks happen, all right? A disconnected marketing train wreck is much more expensive to fix once you've already launched that vehicle along the tracks that don't exist. Now, the goal is always to mitigate losing passengers along the way, avoiding disasters, and guiding your target customer directly through to the purchase. Now, let me give you an example of just how complex it is to connect up each strategic train track piece along the way. Literally, there are at least 100 strategically interconnected questions along the way. The first phase is always strategy, which connects directly into your website development. And when the site is built to support your strategy, it connects into your content creation. And then the publishing of that content happens, which interconnects into the socialization and engagement of your target customer, bringing them smoothly into your final destination. The ad spend is designed to drive more passengers, more prospects along the way to purchase. And each phase has roughly 100 strategic interconnected questions, which all have to be answered correctly and then executed correctly for your project to work. So to paint the picture of how vital an interconnected strategy is, let me give you just one question from each stage of the production process, all right? So I'll lay out the tracks on one question so you can understand that it's just one tiny aspect, but how if you get it wrong, your people never arrive at your final destination. And that one aspect is the call to action, all right? Now this needs to be fleshed out perfectly across each stage. Here goes. In the strategy phase, what is your goal? That goal becomes what is your call to action. In the web development phase, who is building your call to action landing page? Will that landing page follow best practices? Is it optimized for conversion? What's the best video player for converting off the call to action? In the creation phase, what's your call to action gonna say in the video script? And what is the call to action button going to display inside of the video player? In the go live phase, who's going to publish that landing page, make it presentable, and link the video's call to action button to the landing page? They have to be connected for the customer to follow that path. And when you get to that final stage, that final phase is the ROI phase. What's the call to action on your ad? Who's creating that ad? Do they have the right dimensions? Do they know the call to action? In many cases, they don't. Is your marketing ad spend linked to the right landing page? Who's tracking the call to action's effectiveness? And who's tracking the landing page conversions? Should we A/B test multiple variables of call to actions in order to boost conversions in the first 20 days? If so, should we consider writing a variety of different scripts? Those are just a few of the questions around call to actions. And still, there are hundreds of other questions that need to be fleshed out prior to creating the video. Now, almost every time a business doesn't physically connect each train track piece together. And they decide to wing it or to cut corners to save money. Their customer path to purchase train wrecks is right there, right where the flaw is. And then it gets more expensive because their customers don't ever reach their final destination. They kind of have to reconfigure it, reverse engineer it to make it work. Now, if you want to learn how to guarantee your videos generate ROI, we published a 5-part video mini course that teaches our secrets for guaranteeing your videos create ROI, and you can get access to that mini course for free at wirebuzz.com/ROI. That's like return on investment, all right? By the way, if you sign up to become a new follower of mine on Twitter at TheToddHartley, this week only, I'm going to send you a personal video that I'll shoot from wherever I am. And that offer will stop 1 week after this podcast goes live. Now, for video marketing news that was interesting, the New York Times reports TVs are quickly becoming viewers' second screen, a phenomenon made crystal clear as networks aired their final season finales last month, and the live ratings for those shows across all networks tumbled 30 and 40% from a year ago as viewers are tuning in more and more to mobile devices for entertainment. This story is right out of the New York Post. The results are coming at a very inopportune time as networks begin to talk and try to book Madison Avenue agencies to spend money on television, which is about, you know, Madison Avenue is about to place some $70 billion in TV ad commitments. Now, only 6 of 61 returning network show finale episodes saw an uptick in ratings versus a year ago, right? According to Nielsen's numbers, and this is for live plus same day TV viewing in 18 to 49 categories. You can get access to this article on the show notes page. And it's time that we start thinking about the mainstream media as the alternative media and online now as the mainstream, as more and more people start going to alternative programming and alternative news. The convection cycle is really taking place. Also from the New York Post, Amazon is offering a discount on its Prime membership for people who are receiving government assistance, which is like 50% of the 300 million Americans. Amazon says customers who get benefits, such as through supplemental nutrition assistance programs or food stamps, can now pay $5.99 per month for membership, which would include free shipping and unlimited streaming of movies and TV with Prime Video. The regular annual membership is $99 a month, but those who cannot afford to pay upfront have to pay $10.99 a month for the same benefits. Oh, this is interesting. I saw in the UK Sun, I saw a 93-year-old grandmother, a great-grandmother, has turned to the web to help decide on her dream wedding dress. Sylvia Martin from Australia took to Facebook to ask social media users for their fashion advice in the run-up to her tying the knot with her fiance, who is much, much younger at 88 years old. She's a cradle robber. All right, hit me up if you know when their honeymoon snaps are going to be released, all right? I don't want to miss out on that, all that goodness. Over the weekend, a Reddit user with the handle Foxconn Insider released a treasure trove of information regarding a number of new products that Apple has in its pipeline. And while most of Reddit AMAs seem to focus on the upcoming iPhones and an assortment of Mac hardware, there was also some interesting information divulged regarding Apple's rumored smart glass. Look, I am super lukewarm on glass. In 2011, like 12 months before Google released Google Glass publicly, my friends at Google sent me 2 pairs to demo. They sent them to the office at Wirebuzz. They wanted me to show it publicly when I was speaking around the country. And within the first 24 hours, I noticed a very strange reaction from people publicly. And you know, like when you're a single guy and you show up at Starbucks with a puppy and like the dog is like a hot chick magnet, Google Glass is exactly the same thing, except it only attracts nerds. Plus, when you wore them, because there's a camera pointing at somebody's face, people instantly hated having that camera pointing at their face, like instantly went into, I can't trust you mode. And within days, I wasn't even charging the glasses unless a client was going to come into the office and I wanted to show off that we had these early and big time. And here's something I've never told publicly. So I text my buddy at Google and I was like, dude, these things are, I don't have practical application for them. And would you be offended if I eBayed them? And he's like, no, I mean, nobody needs to know about how they got onto eBay. He basically gave me the green light. So I dropped them on eBay, sold both of them, made a nice profit. And then somebody else got the same experience that glass really turns you into a glass hole. TechCrunch reports if Snapchat's growth remains slow, it needs to maximize how much it can charge per ad by demonstrating that they inspire purchases in physical store foot traffic. So today, check this. Snapchat confirmed to TechCrunch that it's acquired location-based analytics and ad measurement startup Placed for an undisclosed lump sum of money. Now, Placed will help Snap scale its measurement systems like Snap to Stores so advertisers can chart how online Snap ads translate into offline return on investment. Now, this news was broke by GeekWire earlier in the day, and you may recall that Google's also working, and Facebook, on demonstrating similar results. Now, here's what you can learn from watching Facebook, Google, and Snapchat trying to demonstrate how they inspire purchases and physical store foot traffic, all right? Isn't proving effectiveness the Achilles heel in this scenario for Google, Facebook, and Snapchat ads? It sure is to me when I evaluate it. And what they're doing is addressing head-on the most common customer objections. If the ads don't translate to customers going in the door and making a purchase, they ain't worth diddly squat. And when a business handles its most common objections in the front of their sales process, like before the prospect brings it up, prospects buy at much faster rates. Don't ever forget that, okay? When I started answering my prospects' common objections earlier in the sales process, and when I started adding videos on my site that handled those common objections, I started to close deals 68% faster. So start thinking about, geez, where your Achilles heel as a business, and then start investing resources in how you handle those objections and make those Achilles heels a whole lot stronger. Hey, did you watch Apple's WWDC 2017 keynote? I just happened to watch the whole thing because I'm a nerd for that stuff. Watch it through Apple TV. You know, they've got an app that's just about Apple events, which means that app has like nothing in it except three times a year or nothing new. And they rolled out a bunch of new products. And the Apple team presenting, you know, they big time, man. That Apple team, they're an upgrade. Like all of them upgraded their faded, hiked up dad jeans that was a little disgusting into more modern, darker blue jeans that kind of sit a little bit lower. Well done, Apple. Good upgrade. And I'm always particularly fascinated about how Apple prepares for their keynotes. You know, when most businesses have announcements, the CEO gets up to speak, followed by other members of the team, and rarely, if ever, do the multiple voices feel interconnected. But clearly, the person or people who wrote CEO Tim Cook's speech, they were the same people who wrote everybody else's, every sentence structure, every joke setup. They were all short, easily digestible sentences. Brilliantly done, Apple. Super cool to watch. When companies got trillions of dollars in cash on hand, they can pull off stunts like this, but it was really nice to watch a seamless flow and a remarkable presentation. The next phase for Apple products, I'm going to get into some of their releases and how it fits into the video space, but the next phase for Apple products are going to be about security, really protecting their users and encrypting their information, because we're living in a world where every one of us is completely vulnerable to that information being used against us. I've got on my MacBook Pro this little $14 cover that goes over my webcam, right? I got it off of Amazon. They sent it to me for free. Got here the next day. But look, that's a $14 solution on a $2,000 or $2,500 laptop, right? When in the world are they going to start thinking about protecting their end user from privacy issues? That's the next big path that Apple needs to look at. Look, I know Apple Tim Cook was excited to announce the iPhone camera app can now read QR codes, and yet QR codes, in my mind, are a total flop, a waste of time. They're outdated when they were released, and the adoption, which is always the most important element, is as close to zero as anything I've ever seen. Now, prior to coming into the studio to record this episode, I did a quick mini poll of all of the Wirebuzz techies here in the office, because in my mind, I was like, if the people that work here, which are people that are, you know, rapid adopters and the first users of technology, aren't using QR codes, then there's a bigger problem and a lesson that should be learned by people like Tim Cook. So I did a mini poll. Every single Wirebuzz employee, with exception to one of them, did not have a QR code reader on their phone. Now, you're saying, Todd, Tim Cook just announced that the iPhone camera is going to be a QR code reader. Well, it's still not something that anybody I know is particularly interested in using. And it's such a pathetic link to a landing page. That's all a QR code is, right? QR code bounces somebody to a landing page. Now, here's what doesn't make sense. Why are we using QR codes when a company already has their logo trademarked? The logo's already registered somewhere. And the most elegant solution would be scanning a trademark logo or scanning a trademarked package that would ultimately take you to a landing page where you could buy or get more information. You know, I'm a bit of a wine snob, and I use an app called Vino, and all I have to do is take a photo of the wine label, and it pulls up the bottle, its information, how much it costs, the latest reviews, and there's no QR code, just really elegant use of a camera, and it pulls up the registered trademarked label. It's current and a seamless user experience. Somebody please create a connection between packaging and landing pages. Please do it. Do it for me. It'll make me feel better. I went and had lunch. I like ketchup. I put ketchup on my ketchup. I like it so much. And I had fries, and I reached out, and on the back of the Heinz ketchup bottle, it had a QR code. And I assure you, the people that decided to put that QR code on the back of the Heinz ketchup bottle, not a single time, not once, did they look in their analytics to see that nobody eating ketchup and dipping their fries in it, QR coded them, went to the landing page to learn more about Heinz ketchup. It's totally worthless. It's a waste of space. And that's all I got to say about QR codes. As part of iOS 11, Apple announced that users will now be able to send money to their friends via iMessage and spend the balance via a virtual Apple Pay card. Now, this is kind of cool. The feature, and this comes right out of TechCrunch, big TechCrunch stories in this episode. The feature will be built into iMessage as an app and essentially let you send a request for money with your contacts in one tap. The app integration will also be able to do things like recognize when somebody says, "Yo, dude, you owe me money," or "You owe me $10," and automatically prompt you to send them a payment. Now, of course, sending money via iMessage isn't new. Companies like Square, they've already have iMessage apps that let you send payments via their platform. But owning the entire ecosystem is always what gives Apple not just the upper hand, but a boatload of money. And this time is no different. When you look at Apple and you see that they built a spaceship for their office, you can thank integrations like iMessage and paying in your Apple Pay card and how they integrate to the next seven floors of that Apple spaceship building that they're building. When you look at the new Apple building, that's all going to be paid for from great innovations like this Apple Pay card tied into iMessage. Just absolutely brilliant. Hey, Also in TechCrunch, if you hate it when a video starts auto-playing on you, well, Apple solved this problem. Auto-play video blocking feature is new in the Safari browser for its upcoming Mac OS High Sierra. In their desktop operating system that's coming to a desktop near you. Now, announced at WWDC, this option will let you keep autoplay videos paused until you choose to unpause them. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, Steve Jobs. Now, that's a really nice feature, and it's going to be tough for all those digital marketers that have been inflating their numbers with autoplay videos, right? This is one of those come to Jesus moments. And when I see developments like this, it reminds me of how much effort people in the digital marketing space waste trying to game the system. Look, if they spent the same amount of effort obsessing not on gaming the system, but instead doing the right thing the first time, which is creating really powerful, compelling videos in the first place, well, that's what their audience wants. And when you focus on creating what your audience wants, they win and you win. Get it right the first time, right? Yesterday, Wirebuzz's Colin Noonan and I went and visited our client, Timefire VR, which is an Arizona-based technology company that's developing a virtual world called Hypatia, a truly social online destination featuring commerce, entertainment, and a safe, welcoming environment to explore cultural and educational opportunities. And these cities, I mean, the cities are massive. You can explore, are like the size of New York City. And when we were there yesterday, we explored Amsterdam. And literally, yo, I was just in Amsterdam, as many of you know, working on client projects. And it made me feel like I was still there. What's up, Colin?
What's going on?
Pretty cool experience yesterday, right?
It was trippy.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm self-admittedly, I'm not like a VR guy. I'm not a game guy. But just the ability to like have a 360 experience and play with the paintbrushes and have an interactive experience with the guy who was leading us through it, it was cool.
So there's inside the Hypatia world, there's a tour guide that's taking you through and showing you how to use all these different tools. Literally, I went over the bridge that my hotel was near. I walked down the street. I saw this gorgeous building in Amsterdam, which I think is like the mayor's home or something. And it kind of matches the train station. And all I wanted to do was grab the... I'm from LA. So my LA street instincts kick in. And I just wanted to tag my Todd tag all over that building in spray paint and just let people know that I was there and I was representing.
What is the Todd tag?
Yeah,
I didn't see the Todd tag.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
All right. Well, it's you should start seeing it in cities near you when I travel. But Colin and I, we shot video of each other. We'll put a video of Colin and I with our VR headsets on as we're touring Amsterdam in the world of Hypatia. You'll hear more about them as our project with them continues.
We look like absolute fools.
Total fools, right?
Absolute fools.
Well, what I liked about it is you go, you have it on and you just go, whoa. And then I giggled to myself because I was like, cool, he's there. Like he's in that space now.
Like running into walls.
Yeah.
Hitting the corner of the desk. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
You got to pull someone back.
A couple of times because there was a table in the room that we were in. You're like walking around the room a couple of times. We both had to be moved away from like objects that weren't virtual that we could like knock over. We totally forgot we were there. I started sweating. It was like, it was a full immersive experience. And in this Hypatia world, there's a, did you see the street sweeper that went by?
The snail?
Yeah. Their snail is like five times larger than us. It's almost like a Jabba the Hutt character, but in a snail. And it's just going down the road and it's cleaning up whatever type of like art or graffiti or trash people have dropped as they're going through Hypatia.
Kind of reminded me like when you go to Disneyland, you have the parade that comes through, the big float.
That's exactly what it was like.
Pretty creepy,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
But the experience was neat.
All right, Colin, thank you so much for joining me. You know, in the news, I saw some things that just really hit home with me. One of the main reasons I shut down my news site that was getting 36 million visitors a year was I couldn't figure out how to make news profitable without selling banner ads. Like, I'm not a banner ad fan. I tune all that out, and I know the audience does too. And in my own defense, this was 10 years ago. The landscape for online news is virtually the same today. Newspapers can't figure out an online revenue model that works. You know, like some girls you aren't supposed to marry. So I moved on from online news, and yet I see the same old problems persisting. You know, in order to get ready for this episode, I really wanted to read a story in the Wall Street Journal titled "Online Terrorist Propaganda, Still a Challenge for Tech Companies." You know, I was interested in it for the show, but the journal online provided the first paragraph for non-subscribers, and I'd have to pay if I wanted to read the rest of it. So I copied the title, "Online Terrorist Propaganda, Still a Challenge for Tech Companies." And I went to this website on the World Wide Web called Google, or I don't know, however you say it. And I pasted the title in exactly word for word into this like search bar function thing. And instantly in 0.80 seconds, I know that because this site's kind of cocky, this Google site, and it posted the amount of time that it needed to do a complete search of the entire world's information. And yep, in 0.8 seconds, voila, the exact title as the paid-only Wall Street Journal article was indexed online with 17 million results. So I clicked on the first one, and as Sarah Palin would say, you betcha, this article was there. So I clicked on it, I read it, and sure enough, you know, the use of Google is fabulous, but the journal has once again lost control of its business, and it sounds like a horrible business to be involved in. I don't know how people are making any money in the news business, and you see it with the layoffs that are happening all over the place. Just go and research what happened recently at ESPN. Updating you on Twitter, studyfind.org, have you ever heard of it? Me neither. They wrote a new study that finds that late night tweeting causes NBA players to perform worse on the court the next day, right? The numbers, maybe they're off by a couple of points each game in scoring, but you know, NBA players perform worse during games if they were up late the night before posting on Twitter, right? I think it'd be interesting if we find out if that same kind of study is happening with the president. Now, LA Times posted an article about a video that appeared on Twitter this weekend that shows what many of us undoubtedly figured is just a normal day in the life of Rex and Rob Ryan, the twin brothers and former NFL coaches. Rex was the head coach of the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. Now, Rob was the defensive coordinator for several teams, most recently the Bills. And apparently the two twins were involved in some sort of scuffle at Margaritaville restaurant in Nashville, where really, if you're going to get into a scuffle, don't do it at Margaritaville. I mean, that's got to be a place where people are supposed to have a good time. But a video of this incident was shot from outside of the business by a tourist on who shared it on Twitter, you know, with his girlfriend's Twitter handle. And it appears to show Rex Ryan to be tangled up with a man and possibly trying to play peacemaker, while Rob Ryan can be seen with his hand around the same man's throat. Look, this isn't a Twitter problem, right? Like when you see that Facebook has something or somebody's breaking a law and then the media goes and starts saying that Twitter's having problems, it's not a Twitter problem, it's not a Facebook problem. This use of video just reveals what we've already known. The Ryan brothers, they're a little unstable. And before everyone had cameras in their pocket, this used to be explained away or even confused away, like in a big cloud, a big smoke screen of confusion. But when you see one of the Ryan brothers reach forward to a dude my size that probably has small guy's disease and starts choking a dude at a bar, it doesn't look good. If only the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets played with that same level of aggression. Maybe they'd have different outcomes. Marketingland reported that YouTube added more detail and expanded the guidelines for content that can be monetized on YouTube. The updated version provides significantly more detail for the existing ineligible content types and more explanation about the guidelines. There are also more types of content that aren't eligible for advertising, like hateful content, inappropriate use of family entertainment characters, and incendiary and demeaning content. These additions speak directly to the types of content advertiser protests flared up around, right? Now, you can get access to that. I'm going to put it up on the show notes page, the Marketing Land article. But in the creator reactions, look, reactions to the blog post have had mixed feedback from creators. Among the complaints are several comments that YouTube is now encouraging bland content. Some creators note that potential impact on videos in the horror, parody, and gaming genres are going to be affected. The requirement to reach 10,000 views also continues to be a sour point. An interesting article for those of you that would like to know more about this Google YouTube update to its creator guidelines. All you have to do is go to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/94. Ideally, if you're going to be creating business videos, you don't want to offend, right? You want more people in your tent, not less. And if you're going to be creating political videos, you probably aren't going to be getting ads around them unless your message is already approved by public conventional wisdom. If you're creating satire around something that a smaller percentage of people believe, they're going to label you as hate, all right? So just know, when you get started, understand what you're trying to do. I'm not a big fan of trying to make money off of the YouTube ad system. I know a lot of people are. It just doesn't work for me. Not something I'm particularly interested in. I think there's faster and quicker ways to generate revenue. And when I use video from a business perspective, you know, most people look at video as being a marketing tool. For me, video is a sales tool when used right, and that's the way businesses need to be looking at it. Look, when you add video to your sales funnel, you turn it into a slip and slide that pulls leads through the conversion process. It's going down for real when you add it into the slip and slide. And when I started using video to explain my core business offering, I decreased my sales time by 68%. If you're using video for your business, think about how you can provide assets to support your sales team, and recognizing that people today are not interested in talking to a salesperson. They're going to do roughly 70% of the buyer's journey on your website, doing research on their own. And when they're ready to make a buying decision is when they interact. Pick up the phone, send an email, hit the chat button. So make sure that you're already preparing in your sales funnel those video assets to slip and slide them through to the decision stage. And that's where you're going to see really impressive results. Hey, look, lots of news coming out of Apple. I gave you some of the most important stuff that affects video marketers. Of course, the new hardware inside of the iMac should be something that video editors are aware of. And for businesses, lots of opportunities for you to use this, the most powerful tool on the internet, video, to amplify your sales and marketing goals. And I'm going to do what I've committed to doing for you for all of these episodes. I'm going to research, bring the latest information to you right here on this podcast so you can be a really powerful marketer. Now, if this episode was valuable to you, I've got an ask, all right? Please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. While you're there, leave an honest rating and review. If the podcast sucks, please say it. If it's great, say it and share it with anybody that you're rooting for. And in the meantime and in between time, Team Wirebuzz will be at work, ready to bring you the next episode and the latest information. And if you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, wirebuzz.com/94. Now, if you want an easy way to remember the episode that we're on right now so you can get access to the show notes page, well, let's think about 94. In 1994, Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed in the leg by an assailant who we all know was related to Tonya Harding, her ex-husband. This last year, I was at the Michigan-Penn State football game, and I walked right by Nancy Kerrigan. I did not tap her in the leg, just walked right on by. The other thing that happened in 94 that's valuable to you is William Perry is sworn in as the new Secretary of State. No, not William Refrigerator Perry, which, of course, you know, number 72 from the Bears, a different William Perry, small footnote in history, but it all went down in 94. Wirebuzz.com/94. All right, so that's the information for episode 94. And if any of you have any clue how I carry on this tradition of telling you what's happened in a year or some interesting information that correlates back to the show notes page, please tip me off, because once we get past 100, this whole thing about what happened in certain years comes crumbling down. So if you've got a good way for me to tip people off on how to connect them to that show notes page when we get into the hundreds, hit me up. Wirebuzz.com/pitch is a great way to get a hold of me. All right, so that's the episode, the latest information in video marketing news. I wish you all a very profitable week. And when you're thinking about how to amplify your business results, think video first. That's where it's all happening. And as I give you a big peace out, one last thought: if you want to speed up your sales process, use video. If you want to convince and convert at faster rates, use video. Start off strategically. Interconnect all of your pieces like train tracks, from strategy all the way to the final step, which is ROI. And when you do that, your video is just a delivery mechanism that moves people from the first stage to the final stage where they send you money. All right, that's all I got for you. Looking forward to the next episode where we bring you more information that makes you a smarter, more profitable video marketing master.